Sean Patrick Maloney, Trans-Pacific Partnership Fast Track. You got your blue book. Tell us about it.
Well, here's what people need to know. I mean, what people need to know is if this is some trade agreement that is going to lead to more outsourcing and shipping our jobs overseas, then I am not going to support it. My test is very simple on this, which is show me the jobs that are going to be created for hardworking families in the Hudson Valley, and I'll support this thing. But nobody has done so. And in fact, if you look at the history of these trade agreements over the last 25 or 30 years, that were done, by the way, under Republican and Democratic presidents. This is a bipartisan policy we've been pursuing. You know, we have to ask ourselves how it's working. And what I see is 60,000 American manufacturers who have left, who have gone overseas, walk through the streets of places like Poughkeepsie and Middletown and Newburgh and look at the shuttered factories, look at the boarded up houses. I mean, look at the cracked pavement and broken sidewalks, and you will see as in a direct line, the connection between our policies that have sent our middle-class jobs overseas and the impact on our communities around New York State. It is a fair question to say, is this thing making it better or making it worse? And I have looked at this very hard, and I've been to all the briefings classified, in other words, on this, and I am convinced that we should not be rushing into another trade agreement that is going to ship more of our jobs overseas. I am very concerned about this because I think it's going to make it even harder for middle class families.
So in other words, this is sort of a tail on the NAFTA agreement, which has alienated so many voters.
That's right, and it used to be that the argument was that free trade creates wealth, and my point is, that's right, it does. But the question is, for whom, where, and how's it working for the people who are working harder than ever right now, who are trying to plan for their kids' college, who are trying to plan for retirement, who are trying to pay their property taxes and just fill the car with gas every week? How is it working for that great American middle class that so many of us are the product of? And I'll tell you, you know, the record's pretty bad. We know it has helped other countries develop their manufacturing sectors. We know it has been a powerful foreign policy instrument, and there are other arguments you can make for why international trade creates benefits in lots of ways. But my focus on this is the people who are getting up right now, every day, going to work, who are making less, who are working longer hours, who are seeing their benefits scaled back, who are worrying about their retirement, who can't afford to send their kids to college. You know, what we got to be doing in America is we've got to be growing this economy again and bringing everybody along.
So
feel better every year about what they're making and what they're paying.
So what's the upside, Sean, about this? In other words, obviously the president and others who want this done see an upside, what, that we can sell more of our stuff if there's a fast track? What do you make of the standing back saying, look, you have problems with it, but what's the upside?
Well, remember who gets hurt in Washington. I mean, you have an army of lobbyists down here crawling all over these things, trying to make sure that this thing is wired six ways to Sunday to help every powerful interest that can get hurt, somebody who can hire a lobbyist for $50,000 a month. The number of people who are looking out for hardworking families who are just trying to, you know, who are hoping that maybe Washington does something for them once in a while, the number of people looking out for them is few and far between. Mm-hmm. And so I just think guys like me have to look at this thing and say, don't give me some macroeconomics lecture on how free trade creates jobs. Show me the evidence that you are going to have more, better-paying, middle-class jobs in the Hudson Valley because of this thing. And if you can't tell me that, then why the heck should I support it? I mean, it's pretty simple, right? I mean, if there are jobs to be created on this, then let's, by all means, tell me about them. Or I'll tell you what, I'll make you another deal, Alan. If you want to go and do one of these trade agreements and you can't show me the jobs in the Hudson Valley, then show me what else you're doing to rebuild the American middle class, to invest in our infrastructure, to rebuild our small cities, to make things here, to lower energy costs, to do all of the things that would allow us to compete here, to create good jobs for guys coming out of high school who won't get to go to college, who need to support a family, who need to get some skills. If we had a massive investment program in our own country, in our own infrastructure, in our own manufacturing sector, and you wanted to do that alongside these international trade deals, well, maybe I'd feel better about it. The problem is we're going to do everything that helps the people who've already been doing well, and we're doing nothing to help the middle-class families who've been falling behind. And I just think we ought to stop, and we ought to ask some hard questions about this. That's all I'm saying.
Let's go to college. Talk to me about college affordability. You know, some of these places are $60,000 a year.
It's crazy. Now, yes.
And what I'm concerned about is that we have a new segregation. The rich go to the elite colleges, with the exception of a few poor who, because of scholarships, go to other places. What do you make of it?
Well, I think it's a real problem for middle-class families. You want to get a group of heads nodding in any room I walk into, start asking who's got a kid in college and how they're going to pay for it. Everybody understands this problem. I mean, I got three kids. I mean, what am I supposed to have a $250,000 after-tax income for each one of them to go to college? There's no middle-class family in America who can do that. And, you know, my mom and dad sent five of us to college on one income with no debt. There's not a middle-class family in America right now that can send one kid to college on two incomes. And there are things we can do to make it easier. Number one, the student loan rates are way too darn high. So if college is going to cost so much, kids got to borrow for it. That means the student loans become a rock around their neck for years, especially if those rates are too high. We should not be charging kids above market interest rates right now on their student loans.
So how come we're doing it? I mean, look, you've been talking about this for a long time, and I admire you for it, but nothing seems to move.
Well, I have legislation on this. We are working on this in the House. We are going to make some progress on this. I think if we can get people focused on it, you know, we could allow people to refinance their existing loans so that they make more sense in today's interest rate market. We could allow more loan forgiveness. We could have programs that relate to percentage of income repayment methods, which make a lot of sense. I'd love to see people be able to do national service and get credit for their student loans. I had a brother who paid for medical school by working in the public health service, working on an Indian reservation out west, providing health care. You know, there are good models out there. And by the way, Alan, the other issue is, why is college cost so much to begin with?
Yeah.
And it is a fair question to ask why the cost of an undergraduate education has just skyrocketed above the inflation rate and become so out of reach for most middle-class families that they have a legitimate concern about whether it's worth it. And if we have kids deciding against college because they don't think the investment is worth it, we've brought ourselves to a very dangerous place in an economy where we need our kids more educated, more trained than ever. I just think this is a critical issue for working middle-class families. And I would love to see us build out our community colleges and our technical schools more. There are models that allow kids in sort of extended high school, if you will, to get access to skills they can use to support themselves. Yeah, the unions do a pretty good job of this, of training programs that allow people to get skills and make a living at the same time so you don't have a lot of debt. You know, this is how we always did it, right? Is you get trained, you make a living, and you go back for more training. And our education system has to be aligned better with affordability and also with employment. It has to be aligned with what skills we need filled when kids get out of school. You know, if you look at, like, the nursing schools, they do a pretty good job of this. There's other schools that are aligned with a specific need that exists out there where you can get a job and make a living without a lot of debt. This is where the rubber meets the road for folks in the middle class right now.
Sean Patrick Maloney, thank you so much for spending all this time with us. I always enjoy it, and it's always fun. So thank you.
Well, thanks, Alan.